Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and I'm so glad that you're joining us with this broadcast. We would invite you to join us on Sunday mornings. Our worship center is at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California. Or you can join us on our live stream at 9 a.m. Both services are at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship. Click on the online service and join us. Or if you miss all those, you can always go to our YouTube channel, which is The Seed Christian Fellowship. My prayer is that we will all come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. I hope that you've been with us for this series. We've been doing a series on the Apostles' Creed. We're coming to the end. I think at least one or two more weeks. Today, we're going to talk about life everlasting. I hope you're going to be blessed by it. Join with me in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So, maybe a good so what question. What is everlasting life? We hear a lot about it. Who wants everlasting life? Why was this line added to the end of the Apostles' Creed? These are a few of the questions that come to my mind as I think about the closing lines of the Apostles' Creed. Last week, we talked briefly about our hope being anchored in the fact or the reality and truth of the resurrection. Now we turn our thoughts to the very last line, and life everlasting. There is so much written on everlasting life or eternal life. Let us take a few passages today. I'm going to pull out these passages of scriptures from the whole story. It will be my prayer that you would go back and reread the whole story as I give them to you. Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the middle of the night and wants to know how to be born again. Some call this the original Nick at night. Jesus told old Nick that he really did not understand. We are all a little bit, I think, like Nicodemus. Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Wow, John 3:15 and 3:16. Nicodemus, he was a high-ranking Pharisee. Listen, Nicodemus had a lot of clout. He snuck out in the night because he wanted to know more about what this Jesus guy was saying. I am sure that Nick was up most of the night. Born twice? How can that be? And yet, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus were the two who took Jesus' body down from the cross and buried him. Maybe Nick got it after all. Die once, born twice. Jesus is everlasting life or life everlasting. In John chapter 4, Jesus meets a Samaritan woman at the well. It's one of my favorite stories. Now look at some of the points in the story. Maybe you can identify with this woman in one way or another. One, she is a Samaritan. Two, she is a woman. Three, she is living in sin. Four, she is an outcast from her own town because she does not go out to the well at the same time of day that all the other women in town go to the well. Jesus sent his disciples to town so that he could talk with the woman alone. Just a side note, Jesus might send all of your friends away so he can talk to you. Think about that. From the high-ranking Pharisees to the low-ranking well woman, Jesus is only concerned with the heart and with your life everlasting. Remember that. Let us turn to our scripture and read the story for ourselves. Before we do, let us pray. God of all grace and truth, give us a drink of this living water that gives us eternal life. Open our hearts and minds today, right now, to receive the wonderful gift of life everlasting. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn to John chapter 4, where it's a long reading, verses 1 through 26. Listen for God's word to you. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herds?" Verse 13, Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I won't get thirsty and have to drink coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." And Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said, "I know that the Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Wow, what a wonderful story. I love this story. Jesus tells the woman at the well that she can have a drink of water that will quench her thirst for life forever. Listen again to verses 13 and 14. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. I think Jesus is talking about the worldly pursuits of fame, fortune, fun, power, prestige, position, sex, security, safety, money, recognition, honor, or glory. Everyone who drinks this water, well, will be thirsty again. We all know that the things of this world are fleeting. Jesus offers the woman at the well another opportunity, the spring of eternal life. The water Jesus gives comes from the spring of water welling up from eternal life. So what? That's my so what question for this week in this message. So what is eternal life? Where is this spring that offers the waters of eternal life? In John 6, Jesus feeds the 5,000 and then calms the storm by walking on water to them. What kind of state of mind are the disciples in? First 5,000 are miraculously fed, and now the master, Jesus, is walking on water. Here is one truth I know and can share. It's a powerful experience when Jesus walks into the storms of your life. After this, the crowds followed Jesus because of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus had just spoken to the crowd that they are looking for bread. That kind of bread will perish. Jesus tells them that he brings the bread of heaven. In John 6:35, he says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and who believes in me will never be thirsty. John 6:35. Three times in this encounter with the crowds, Jesus speaks to them of eternal life. Listen to his own words in John 6:27. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. John 6:27, John 6:40. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. John 6:40. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. John 6:47-48. So what is eternal life? That's a great question. That's what we're going to try and address for the rest of this message. Realizing that he would soon be gone from this world one day, D.L. Moody said to a friend, quote, someday you will read in the papers that D.L. Moody of Northfield is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. And at that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now. I shall have gone higher, that is all out of this old clay tenement into a house that is immortal, a body that sin cannot touch, that sin cannot taint, a body fashioned into his glorious body. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We invite you to go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship. Click on the prayer icon, and our prayer team will pray for you. I'm using an illustration about D.L. Moody. He said, don't believe a word when he dies. He's going to be more alive. He said, I was born in the flesh in 1837. I was born in the spirit in 1856. That which is born of the flesh may die. That which is born of the spirit will live forever. Nicodemus at night figured this out. Rank doesn't matter. My hand-tailored clothes don't matter. My Gucci sandals don't matter. It doesn't matter what I eat at the five-star places in town or have the biggest house filled with the finest things. That will all perish. My spirit, Jesus is after my spirit. Jesus is after my heart, my mind, my body, my soul. My flesh will die, but my spirit will live forever. After the Lord's Supper, which wasn't really known by that, by the way, Jesus prayed. He prayed for the believers, he prayed for future believers, and he prayed for himself. That prayer is found in John 17. The whole chapter, John 17, is just one long prayer. This is how John, one of Jesus' best friends, records the opening of Jesus' prayer in John 17:1-3. Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority in all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. John 17:1-3. Did you hear that? Did you hear the powerful passage of eternal life in verse 2 and 3? God has granted all authority to Jesus in order to be the giver of eternal life. What does Jesus say about eternal life? Listen again. Father, the time has come. Glorify your Father, or glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I know this message has a lot of scriptures, but the theme of eternal life is imprinted in all of them. God is eternal. In Isaiah, God is called, the Lord is a rock eternal, Isaiah 26:4. And in Jeremiah, God is called the King eternal, Jeremiah 10:10. Since God is eternal, so are all of God's attributes, blessings, and love. The Psalms tell us repeatedly that the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. The words eternal life are used 42 times in the New Testament. Let me say that again. You could do a word search. The words, quote unquote, eternal life are used 42 times in the New Testament. Hello, are you listening? Are you still with me? Eternal life is the major theme of the Bible. For the writers of the Bible, eternal life meant more than just life everlasting. Eternal life was a quality of existence that held no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears, and no more death. Eternal life meant a life that continues forever in the presence of God, whose love is unfailing and unending. Not just here, not just now, not just tomorrow, but forever and ever and ever. During World War II, a prisoner wrote, April 8, 1945, Pastor Bonhoeffer held a little service which reached the hearts of all. He had already finished his prayer when the door opened. Two evil-looking soldiers came in and barked, "Prisoner Bonhoeffer, come with us." The words meant only one thing, the scaffold. As he bid his fellow prisoners goodbye, he said, "For me, this is the beginning of a new life, eternal life." You see, when Bonhoeffer was facing his own execution because he stood up Adolf Hitler, some of the last words that he spoke were to his fellow prisoners, and he said, "For me, this is the beginning of a new life, eternal life." So what? I ask that a lot of times when I read scripture. I always say, put yourself in the Bible, put yourself in the scriptures, and put the scriptures in you. But what is eternal life? You've heard a lot of passages today. So what is eternal life? Why would the early disciples put this in the Apostles' Creed? Better yet, why would it be the closing line? The late and marvelous preacher Ralph Stockham, while writing an Easter sermon one year, received word that a friend had died. His friend was a scholar, a doctor of philosophy from Columbia University, a distinguished missionary to China for 40 years. A daily prayer of this remarkable servant included, quote, "O God, our Father, I accept thy gift of love. Help me to pass it on for Jesus' sake." Here, end of quote. Let me say his prayer. This was his morning prayer. "O God, our Father, I accept thy gift of love. Help me to pass it on for Jesus' sake." One morning of the missionary's death at age 92, Lacey Seitz said to those near his bedside, "If we live the eternal life now, we will always live that." Pause and ponder that. I'm pausing. I know I'm not supposed to pause very long on a radio, but think about that. If we live the eternal life now, we will always live eternally. What a profound statement. If we live the eternal life now, we will always. Yes, here it is. Here's what the apostles closed the entire creed with, this line, "and the life everlasting, amen." Can you hear your own version of this line? I can. Dave, don't just live for heaven. Live for heaven on earth. Each and every person I put you in contact with needs a drink of this living water. Pour out. Don't count the cost. The cost we are talking are souls, the souls who need eternal life. People need living water. Friends, don't wait to live eternally. I'll say that again. Friends, don't wait to live eternally. Let us start today and live every day in the presence of the living God. Friends, we have the living water to share. We have the bread of life to share. We need to share everlasting life with our family, with our friends, with our neighbors, our coworkers, and even strangers. Well, how do we live eternally now? That's the question. How do we live eternally now? I'm going to give you some focus points, and I'll repeat them. And if you write them down, or I can send them to you, you can email me at PastorDave@TheSeed Christian Fellowship. Here's some focus points on how you can live eternally now. Focus on Jesus, the wave walker, and not just on the waves of life. Focus on your Savior and not on the storms of life. Focus on the cross and not the crime nor the criminal. Boy, that would be a good one for us today. Focus on heaven and not the hurt. Focus on God's hope, not the hopeless situations you face. Focus on God's mercy and not the mockery that we receive. Focus on God's grace and not the gossip. Focus on God's love